Hello, everyone. My name is Rob. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from anger, pride, and gluttony.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys and ladies. Please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for this facility and this ministry. I ask as I speak that your words come through me and that people hear your truths and my story becomes nothing. I ask that I get small and you get large in the hearts of all that attend. In your son Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Being raised just south of the border and developing an affinity for living in two similar yet distinct cultures, I've come to realize it mirrors much of my life. Coming from a family of 9 children, 3 boys, 3 girls, and 3 boys, of which I'm near the end, with 2 younger brothers. My parents were married for 56 years until the passing of my father. They're of working class stock, with my father never knowing his biological father, and my mother being orphaned at the age of 3. My father was a bipolar, angry alcoholic. He worked hard and long hours to provide for the family, which left parenting to my stressed out mother. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, as you may imagine, with 9 children, until my youngest son reached school age, at which time my mother found a job working as our janitor, hospital janitor in our little town. I began working at the age of 9, could manage and operate heavy equipment by the age of 12, and provided for my own clothing and school supplies by the age of 14. Mine was a crowded house. It was a household of want, with essentially no adult supervision. So undisciplined and unguided was I, that I took a perverse pride in developing a self-reliant, independent mindset that other kids were told to avoid. I began to steal, beginning with milk in grade school and escalating to smuggling across borders, selling alcohol to other minors. Although culturally we were Christians via the Lutheran Church, we attended rarely. As a Lutheran, one attends confirmation for 2 years, typically beginning at seventh grade and then moving to eighth grade, which was my first real introduction to Jesus, of whom I've heard. It was during this time I attended, along with others from class, a showing of the movie The Cross and the Switchblade. For those of us that are older, they may recall that movie. It was an integral part of the Jesus movement of the 70s. Finally, I thought that there's someone out there that will love me and protect me for who I am. I wanted this peace that was available and accepted Christ's sacrifice on the cross for my sins. As I continued on with confirmation, I knew that my eternal life was assured, yet was confused by the dichotomy of the hypocrisy I saw around me. It was in my community, it was in the church, Sunday morning Christians professing love and forgiveness for one another, all while knowing what we had done the night before. Having accepted the saving grace of the blood of Christ as God on earth, having sacrificed himself for the sins of mankind, I'd punched my ticket to heaven, but was naive and blind that I was becoming the very thing which I loathed. I waged an internal war between accepting God to govern my life versus the desire to seek human acceptance. Unfortunately, it was during this period that there was a particularly violent episode in my home. I prayed that, God, if you're real, you'll reveal yourself to me by taking my father's life immediately. And if that did not occur, well, God, then you're a fraud. I'm thankful that God does not grant silly wishes, particularly to angry young boys. Although I had accepted Christ as my Savior, I felt this continual struggle between righteousness and evil. I knew nothing of him, made no effort to get to know him, and remained in open rebellion to him. I was a blasphemer of the finest sorts. Stuck in an independent, angry survival mode, I was a chameleon of sorts. Outwardly a good student, a marginal athlete, I was hardworking and a diligent employee, yet lost, angry, fearful, and a bitter soul on the inside. I was introduced to pornography by my high school science teacher, with whom I worked construction during the summer, leading to a life of lust. As I grew into adulthood, my disobedience was on full display, rejecting any truth other than what fit my own paradigm. All while being pulled to a life of repentance, I was at war within myself, leading to an ever-increasing cycle of guilt and shame. Over the years, I left a whirlwind of destruction in conjunction with substance abuse of every type, destruction amongst myself and those with whom I came in contact. I got a girl pregnant, resulting in an abortion, of which I not only supported but encouraged. While in the Army, I met and married my first wife, confusing lust and loneliness for love, while seeking a sense of family, doing so, of course, without any biblical guidance or counsel, or even knowing what a family should look like. A low point may have been after my failed marriage as a depressed, suicidal, broken man, as I lay crying out with gun in hand, prepared to end it all just to stop the pain. Psalms 88:15-18 was my lament. Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer from your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. Thankfully, God sent an emissary to my apartment, literally as I contemplated suicide. Yes, a pastor from a local church came just to check up on me to see how I was doing, having just moved to the area. God, are you actually listening to my tears and sorrow? Still too blind and full of rage to accept his unconditional love, I spent the intervening years looking back on my life with remorse, anger, and bewilderment, all while missing all of the joy that was all around me. During this period, I went on a rampage as only fools would do, with a focus on financial success, power, possessions. I was filled with self-indulgent excess, greed, and inappropriate relationships, of which one or more were married women, making me also an adulterer. Pride ruled my existence as I became my own God, and oh, how I loved myself. From outside appearances, I was doing well, as others would say. I had the right job, the right education, the right car, the right clothes, holding high court in business, flying around the globe. Just so much garbage. All while beginning to question my very purpose for being. The irrefutable turning point for me was when my very good friend Maceo asked incredulously, "You're a Christian?" Not the pleasant, "We're all in this together, brothers and sisters, you're a Christian." But the more applicable, "You're not a Christian. You couldn't be. You're nothing like what you say you believe, living a life of hypocrisy, no self-denial, and all self-gratification type of, you're a Christian." That single question jolted me to introspection and began what at first was a slow turn to Christ, which has now become a full-on sprint, ultra-marathon style. First returning to church and then attempting to understand what it was that I believed. It was clear to me that I had been completely off the rails and nothing like I had professed. The scales were slowly being removed from my eyes. However, in my ignorance, I simply thought that I'm not bad. I don't have to be bad. I wasn't bad enough, so I just have to be good. I was going to white-knuckle life, not knowing the truth of John 15:4, which reads, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you also abide." Initially, I took small steps towards fully accepting his deity and governance over my life. While this maturation continued, I met and married my beautiful and tender future bride, Christine, 11 years of marriage this coming August. I married up, and I certainly got the better end of that relationship. Applause would be appropriate. Okay, anyway, Christine and I began attending Watermark about 7 years ago, during which we had heard of Reengage, Watermark's marriage ministry. Of course, in my pride, I thought, just what we need is a tune-up for our marriage. Reengage will really help my wife. During Reengage, it became apparent to each of us we desired to work on ourselves before we would be able to help our marriage, leading us to Regen. Without getting ahead of myself, I can state unequivocally, Regen is the best move we ever made for the health of our marriage and has altered the nature of our relationship. So beginning Regen, steps 1 and 2, admit and believe. Yes, I knew I could use a tune-up and that I had some struggles, but it was step 2 that began to grab my attention by allowing me to question what it is that I actually believed. I had been posturing for so long, I wasn't even aware of the true nature of my beliefs, which interestingly enough included some doubt. It was during steps 2 and 3, trust, that my attention was captured, and with it the realization that I had been unwilling to accept God, who was who he said he was, that he was wanted what was best for me, was loving and graceful, was always available. Fortunately, I was paired with great leaders and team members, and also began an earnest study of prophecy of Christ in the Old Testament combined with studies of the four gospel. As I stand here, I assure you, and I say without reservation, he lives. He is here, and he is available to all who accept his saving grace of Jesus Christ. I came here to understand what I came to understand what I believed, beginning in alignment with what I say, believing how I live my life. If you ever wonder how your belief is undeniably aligned with how you live your life, study the book of Titus. Step 4. The much aligned, maligned step 4. I jumped into it eagerly to list all my hurts and abuses I suffered at the hands of others. This is going to be good, I thought. I can finally list all of those who harm me, real or imagined, akin to a punch in the gut, repeatedly, over and over, and then coming back for more. However, it was during step 4 that an epiphany came to me in realizing I had become much more of a perpetrator, a scoundrel, a generally despicable person than those who I believed had been the ones deserving of my wrath. Step 5, confess, and step 6, repent, were pivotal for me. I wanted to be healed as we were promised in James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. My confession helped lift the weight of my guilt and shame. Simply put, I no longer wish to live the life I had lived, but rather live a life worth living as a servant of Christ. Step 7, 8, and 9, consisting of follow, forgive, and amends, I eagerly met. In the process, I accepted that to truly live the life as a follower of Christ, then I had to forgive those that harmed me and make an honest attempt to make amends with those I had harmed. Perhaps the greatest transformation I had experienced was a sense of calm and peace I received upon providing forgiveness to those who had harmed me. Hanging on to the anger and playing the part of the victim only served to insulate me from the fundamental truth that I required grace and forgiveness more so than anyone. In accepting the truth, I released the hold that others held on me for their damage, realizing we all hurt, and in many ways were both victim and perpetrator. I no longer hated the man who molested me at age 6 in a public swimming pool changing room. I had told no one of that event until I told my mentor plus one. It was during that molestation that, because of the molestation occurred, I didn't swim again until I was 16, and I was able to defend myself. Realizing such anger allows me simple pleasure when released, pleasures that I once feared, which interestingly enough include wreck diving for pleasure. I now understand my family members were as lost as I and suffered the same wounds as being separated from God as I once had. Equally, the anger and shame that gripped me, defining my life, has been replaced with a profound sense of love. Consequently, our relationships are strong and perhaps stronger than they've ever been. Clearly, my father was damaged as I, with his own sin struggles on display in many ways, and some more apparent than others. Having accepted Christ near death, not only has he found glory in heaven, but I have found the freedom in releasing the heavy burden of my holding on to an unforgiving heart. Galatians 5:25 states, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." I fully embrace steps 10 through 12, knowing I want to know him more on a level I did not know possible, and with a desire that continues as I stand here before you today, desiring to keep in step with that Spirit. Through the process of regen curriculum, combined with the leaders and group of men with whom I partnered, real change occurred by accepting his grace, and in so doing, I now wish to introduce the same to all I meet. Simply to accept and give the love that had been available to me, as it is to you, and has been available all along, even to an angry, long-haired 12-year-old boy. Make no mistake, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you. Although I have been relieved of anger and pride, which is now in check, I remain mortal and prone to wander in other areas of my life. I now keep short accounts, capture my thoughts, repenting, and readily asking for forgiveness. I do so quickly and asking for grace when appropriate. As I reflect on this, I'm reminded of the encouragement Paul provided Timothy and now us through 1 Timothy 1:13. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, prosecutor, an insolent opponent, but I have received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. A great benefit of going through Regen is the beautiful relationship I now have with my sweet Christine, who I am so grateful. Ignoring the tug at my heart by the Holy Spirit, I had rejected God and had become my own God. I was my idol, which included lovely characteristics such as anger, greed, lust, and pride. I had no concept of keeping the Sabbath holy. Not only did I not honor my parents, I rebelled against them and my entire family. I was a thief, a liar, a cheat, and covered everything and, in some cases, other people. I was an adulterer and a murderer. I was a poser, too afraid to admit, even to myself, how truly lost and lonely I was, all while filling my life with possessions and power. I no longer know that person and reject that life. Taking now as my life verse, Titus 2:2, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. If there's anything that you can take away from me tonight, is that God has always been there for each of us. He was with me even as I rejected him and until I was finally able to accept it as my own disobedience and willful nature that kept me away. His restoration in me is palpable and available to each of you. Just as he has healed me, he will do the same for you. The manner in which I literally spent decades of my life, decades, is that of an angry young man, full of pride and self-determination, destroying anything and everyone with whom I came in contact, living in complete isolation. I was quite prepared to go to my grave as an angry old man. But as I humbly come before you now, and any change you see in me is because I am released, I am redeemed, and made righteous by the blood of Christ. That same gift of freedom is available to you as well. The Holy Spirit is alive within me, and the trajectory of my life has been forever changed. To that, I give all glory to God our Father.